Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Special guest this hour is our friend Beverly Immanebel. She has been with us at least once before. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Beverly is a speech-language pathologist who specializes in adult interaction, and she's the founder and the CEO of TLC, Talk, Listen, Communicate. She and her staff work with companies, organizations, and individuals to make a positive and permanent change in attitude and behavior. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back.
Thank you, Beverly. It's good to have you back with us, and I've enjoyed getting back into your book a little bit from the last time. I found some other things that we had not talked about before, and I wanted to get you back on and reintroduce you to my audience and let them hear some of the things you have to say. One of the things that I know is that the commodity in the marketplace that is so misunderstood and misused and many times undervalued can be one of the most valuable commodities, and that is the way we speak to people, the way we communicate to people.
I agree.
One of the things that I like about your book is the architecture. I've never seen anyone approach communicating like this. And in your book, you talk about making deposits with people. What do you mean by that?
I make the analogy that our relationship with people, whether those people might include your customers, your staff, employees, suppliers, they also might include your family, friends and neighbors. We make the analogy that it's like a checking account. You're going to be making withdrawals, just like when you write a check, it's a withdrawal. Mm-hmm. So you better have some money in the bank when you do. And so to set up your people account, you're going to be making withdrawals with these people that I mentioned. You might mm-hmm. be late. You might have to tell them something they don't want to hear. So you need to be making regular deposits so that your account, shall we say, with this person never gets overdrawn.
Hmm.
And we talk about the four major deposits that if you make them regularly, you will have a balanced account with these people.
All right. Now, let's talk about the first one and see if we can get this set up, because this is a little bit of it's an unusual approach. And the first deposit you talk about is you say four deposits for balance. The first one is set your own attitude and altitude.
That's right. The first deposit is one that you actually make with yourself. This really doesn't have much to do with other people other than they're going to enjoy the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if I work with you and you're in a bad mood and I say something to you, you're liable to take it the wrong way, get defensive, or snap at me.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the same thing and you're feeling good about yourself, if you're feeling confident, if you're feeling hopeful and optimistic, you're not going to snap at me. So I do, as another person, I get the benefit of you having a healthier attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But we spend more time listening to ourselves than we do anybody else. Most of us, when we wake up in the morning, we have conversations in our head. At first, they're kind of dull.
Right.
Maybe, oh, it's morning. But we do a lot of communicating before we probably ever say two words to another human being. And what we say during that crucial time can really set the tone for the rest of the day. And a lot of people don't realize that.
What are some things that we can talk? What are some ways that we can talk to ourselves, which we all do? And I know I do. I absolutely do. I do it all the time, and especially as you say, in the morning for the first couple of hours or so. What are some ways that we can talk to ourselves as we're talking to ourselves that will help us to have a more positive day?
All right. Well, I think it's important for people to understand the physics of what's going on here, and that is you have a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. And first thing in the morning, for most people, certainly not all, their left hemisphere hasn't turned back on yet. And so they're talking to the side of their brain that's very gullible. It will believe anything you tell it. It controls the bodily health. It controls your attitude, your memory, your body language, and your tone of voice. So take advantage of this time. Don't be watching depressing news. Be careful what you say to yourself. Do not get up in the morning and say, oh, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Because your body will believe that. Now, physically, perhaps you did not get enough sleep. Saying, I'm tired, isn't going to make it any better.
Right.
In fact, it's going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Because so you, you, because you're going to give into that.
That's right. You want to make your statements positive. And one, well, there's three rules for this, and they're in the book. The first one is make it present tense. You know, I am, not I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're talking about yourself, first person, I. In other words, you cannot, during that time of day, say, my customers are gonna buy my product today. You don't have any control over them, but you can say, I do a wonderful job selling my product today. Or I'm great at making this presentation today.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure the third rule is that everything that you say is positive. No form of the word not. So instead of saying, I don't forget to call Mr. Brown today, you say, I remember to call Mr. Brown today.
What about this? Some people, and I may be like this too, some people may have a problem saying to themselves things that seem a little bit too strong. For example, you know, you might have a problem saying to yourself, I'm the greatest salesperson in the world. Because, you know, you might say, well, you know, that's really not true. But what about if you said something like this? Instead of saying that, you said, today I'm going to give my customers the maximum opportunity to do business with me.
Yes.
Something like that. So, in other words, it's not exactly... It's not that you're saying something about yourself that you may not believe. Even so, you know, you might even be to the point where you can't really get your, it's hard for you to get yourself out of maybe a little bit of a negative posture. And so instead of going all the way to saying I'm the greatest, you say I'm going to give it the best effort possible, something like that.
I think that's a great idea. If you do get that argument inside your head that says, no, you're not great. Understand that that's the left side of your brain talking, and
yeah,
your left hemisphere is on right now.
I got you. Very important point. Arguing with yourself. Thank you for saying that. That's the word I was searching for. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 20 after the hour. We're going to be right back with our friend Beverly Inman Ebel, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you have a question or comment. Stay with us, please. Back, it's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Beverly Inman Ebel is our special guest and our friend. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. And folks, we're talking about how to make sure that when you communicate with people that you do it effectively and that you get the right message across. And the subtitle of her book is Saving the High Cost of Misunderstanding at Work and at Home. And it can be very expensive. It can cost you a lot if you aren't communicating properly. Beverly, tell us where your book is available.
It's available in bookstores nationwide, in Barnes & Noble or Borders. It's also available on the Internet, Amazon.com, or it can be purchased through calling our toll-free number at 888-BECAUSE.
888-BECAUSE. And did you tell me that the second printing is just about out?
Yes, it is. I got two copies of the second printing. It's now in the warehouse. So.
Congratulations. You know
Thank
what
you.
That means, folks? That means it's a good book. People bought it.
That's right.
That's great.
Very
Congratulations.
Exciting.
And you just got through with a 30-city book tour, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I covered most of the cities, major cities in the eastern United States as well as Toronto.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In fact, you were on the tour the last time we visited with you.
That's right.
A couple months ago or so.
Yeah. I believe I was in Colombia when I talked with you.
I think that's right. Beverly, you said something a minute ago that I want to stop and talk about this for a second. I was trying to imagine, you know, me talking to myself and not maybe not being able to say all the great things that, you know, that maybe you were recommending that I say, because, and I was trying to explain why that would be happening, and you gave me the word. You said the word that is the reason, and that was that I was arguing with myself.
That's right.
I was not only talking to myself, I was arguing with myself.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Because I think that's what happens, and I had not thought about that. I mean, I know I don't think it's negative. In other words, I don't think what I'm talking about is where I'm being too negative on myself. It's just that I'm not buying what I'm telling myself.
Uh-huh.
And I just like for people to think about that for a second. I don't know, you know, we've all heard about talking to ourselves, you know. And in the old joke about, you know, you're okay as long as you don't answer yourself. Well, when you argue with yourself, you are answering yourself, aren't you?
That's right. And what's going on is that the left side of your brain clicks on, for most people, about 30 minutes after they wake up. And for some people, it clicks on first thing.
Now, remember, folks, the right side is the gullible side. That's the side you can tell anything to, and it'll believe it, right?
Right.
Here comes the left side.
Here comes the left side.
Mrs. Devil's advocate here.
That's right. It gives you advice. It's your counselor. So if you say something, whether it's very positive or very negative, the left side of your brain may argue with you. Now, we need to listen to this side of the brain to a certain extent. It's part of this. It's striving to make the whole successful.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to remember that the advice that it gives is based on its own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if sales have not been good for the last quarter,
mm-hmm.
and it hears you saying, I'm the best salesman in the world, it is going to correct you.
Yeah.
It's going to tell you, no,
hey,
you're
look,
not.
I got the numbers right here. What are you talking about?
That's right. And
yeah.
It will remind you. So anytime you are having an argument inside your head, understand that both sides of your brain are having this little battle.
You know, I'd never thought about that before. This is fascinating. And, you know, I guess that's what I was getting at a minute ago when I said, you know, if you can't say I'm the best, maybe you could say, I'm going to be the best, or I'm going to become the best, or I'm going to give it the maximum effort, or whatever. And then the left side of your brain can't argue with that. I mean, it can't say, no, you're not, because, you know, that's yet to come.
And another way of doing this, and this was in the book, is when you know the left side of your brain is awake, don't say a full sentence, because if you say instead one word, for instance, I may just say, sell, 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 sell.
Uh-huh.
Left side of the brain cannot argue with that. It's logical for it to argue with one word. So it lets that message get through to the right side, which gives me the energy and the motivation and the power perhaps to go out and approach that person and actually sell my product, service, or idea.
Right. Or comments like, be positive today. Be positive today. Something like that. The first deposit, folks, we're talking about making deposits with people, and the first deposit is with yourself. We're going to talk about some of the other deposits that Beverly has in her book when we come back after these messages. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Beverly Inman Evil is our guest and our friend. She is the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Stay with us, please. We're back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Beverly Inmanebo is our friend and our special guest. She is the author of Talk Is Not Cheap, Saving the High Cost of Understanding at Work and at Home. It's available in bookstores. It's available online. And if you'd like to talk to me or Beverly or both of us and have a comment or a question, if you're having trouble communicating, if you're having trouble getting through to someone else and you'd like to have a little bit of help with that, the number is 888-822-8255. If you're having trouble communicating with yourself, we have the expert on the show with us right now, 888-822-8255. We've been talking about something that Beverly offers in her book called Making Deposits with People. And the first one we've been talking about is making deposits with yourself, which is very interesting to me. And now, Beverly, let's talk about what you call the second deposit, listen more than you talk.
You know, as a business owner, it is so important to listen more than you talk. Listen to your employees. Know what's going on. Have that thumb on the pulse of your organization. Listen to your customers. Know what they want, what they don't want, and the extent of passion that they want it or don't want it. It's amazing what we can find out when we spend more time observing and truly focusing on the other person. We get huge credits in our people account when we do that, and it makes us smarter. It's definitely a win-win situation.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I think is so important, and I observe people not doing this a lot, and that is not paying attention to the body that these words are coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have you have you been communicating with someone who was definitely passionate about what they were saying? Maybe they were upset, maybe they were excited, or whatever. And the words that were coming out of their mouth may have been on one level, but their body was saying something else altogether.
That's right. And the body does certain things when it is excited. If, for instance, if a person feels under stress, and that can be because they're angry, because they're rushed, because they've just said something or heard something that, you know, creates defensiveness in them, the body prepares that person. It sends out additional adrenaline. It makes them stronger so they can fight or run.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1999, very few of us fight or run. We just jerk, because we have this additional adrenaline running through our body. So if you're talking to someone and all of a sudden they quickly shift their posture, let's say that they move their arms from being relaxed and open to crossing them, or they have their right leg crossed quickly, they uncross it and cross the other leg over, and it's quick, pay attention to that. Know something is going on with that individual. Now, body language is not a direct science, so you're not going to be able to know perhaps exactly what's going on, but understand this, at that moment, that person's not a very good listener,
mm-hmm.
so you need to stop talking.
Well, or they are uncomfortable, and or they feel that you have some kind of, maybe you have some kind of power over them, they're afraid, they may have some kind of a problem with that. And if your goal, if it's an employee that you feel has a, you know, that you feel is valuable to your organization, and they're coming to you and they're frightened or they're upset or they're scared or whatever it might be, they're excited or agitated, you need to be able to see that in them, regardless of what's coming out of their mouth. You've got to be able to see that, because if you really care about them and you want to make sure that obviously what they're saying is important, then you need to be able to take all of that in, not only the words but the body language.
Yes, indeed. And if you do that, you will not be surprised, because not only does 55% of a communication is visual, and if you think that's not true, then how come when you have a serious conversation, you don't want to do it over the phone, you want to do it face-to-face?
That's right. That's right.
Because you get so much information by looking at a person.
Mm-hmm. And that's intuitive, isn't it? I mean, when we make that comment, we're not necessarily thinking about what you just said. It's just intuitive that we want to be there.
Yes. Yes, we want to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in today's fast-paced business, with all the information that is out there, the email, the faxes, we don't get in front of that customer or that supplier as often as we did in the past. Yet we still have this human need to do so whenever possible. And I would encourage people, yes, take advantage of all the bells and whistles that are out there. Remember that people are still doing business with people.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about the customers. I want to make sure we brought that up, because we've had, you know, we have quite a few interviews on the show with people who are sales experts, sales training experts, and the one thing that they say over and over and over again, and that my audience has heard me say, in the sales call, the person with the information that will help you be successful is not you, it's the customer or the prospect.
That's right.
And if you don't listen to what they have to say, you're not going to get this information that they have, and therefore you will not be successful.
That's right.
Or not as successful as you could have been if you kept your mouth shut.
Right.
Beverly, stand by. Folks, when we come back with Beverly M and Ebel, we're going to talk about finding a better way to say whatever it is that you have to say. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The book is Talk Is Not Cheap. It's 39 after. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Beverly Inman Ebel is our special guest. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. And Beverly, you have a website as well, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's BYAC.com. And that stands for Because You Always Communicate.
BYAC.com. Check that out, folks. A lot of good information there, including a monthly newsletter, right?
That's right. We have our monthly newsletter that's just chock full of information and advice.
And is that a free newsletter?
Pardon?
Is that a free newsletter?
Yes, it is.
Good. Good for you. I like it when people give things away to my audience. Beverly, let's talk about one more deposit, and then I've got a couple of other questions I want to ask you. Find a better way to say it. Why do I need to find a better way to say it? I'm so smart, Beverly. I mean, I'm this perfect communicator. If it comes out of my head and then comes out of my mouth, then it's therefore is perfect. Why would I need to learn a better way to say anything?
There's always room for improvement. I laugh because most people are perfect communicators 5 to 10 minutes after they've said something. I call it the V8 effect. You know, they hit their forehead and they say, "Man, I should have said."
Yeah.
You know, we all can be very witty and charming after the event is over. We do need to monitor what we're saying. We think in icons or pictures, and these thoughts are just racing through our mind. Then we have to slow them down for words, for details, so we're taking them out of the pictures into the words. And then most people speak at about 150 words a minute, so we're really slowing ourselves down. So if you have some listeners out there who are always ahead in what, you know, their mind is ahead of what their mouth is saying, that's very typical.
Yep.
And sometimes we're amazed to hear what comes out of our mouth.
You know, you said a minute ago, sometimes you hit your head and say, "I wish I'd said that." But sometimes we hit our head and say, "Man, I can't believe I said it. Did I say that out loud?"
That's right.
And I tell you, I have this little exercise that I try to use as often as I can. Whenever possible, if I have something to say, if it is possible at all, I sleep on it. Because regardless of how I feel today, and regardless of how convinced I am, and I've convinced myself that this is not going to change, nothing's going to change my attitude, tomorrow, even if my attitude hasn't changed, maybe my eloquence has improved a little bit.
When I'm working with a group of people who have this particular problem of just being too spontaneous with their talk, put them in a small group, and they must say their full name before they say anything. So, for instance, if I want to say, "I don't think so," I would have to say, "My name is Beverly Jean Inman Ebel. I don't think so." You know what that does? It makes you stop saying a bunch of stuff that's insignificant. You can't even say without saying first, "My name is Beverly Jean Inman Ebel." And it is funny, and it's frustrating because it slows you down. And what people find out is they're saying a bunch of stuff that is just void filler. And I encourage people to use some pauses instead of saying things that really don't mean anything. They don't add to the conversation.
Yeah.
And they can get you into trouble.
All right, I want to finish up the deposits. The fourth deposit is treat others the way they want to be treated.
Well, we're all different. And if I treat you, Jim, the way I want to be treated, and I have a different behavioral style or personality, then I may be mistreating you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are bottom line. They get right to the point. Other people like all the details and information that's very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with paying attention to who you're talking to and getting to know them a little bit. Because some people who, as you say, treat you the way that they think they know that you want to be treated, maybe they haven't paid attention to you. And, you know, whenever I'm around someone and I'm trying to make a sale or whatever it might be, I try to see what is this vessel that I'm talking to, you know, what's in it, what's it like? And, you know, is this person, as you say, is this a bottom line person that I need to cut to the chase, or is this the kind of person that would like to have more facts? I try to think about that.
That's good. Most people, we really do, if we think about it, we treat people the way we like to be treated, and we're walking around with this misperception that people are like us. Well, it depends on your behavioral style, because in the book it quotes the statistics of what percentage of people, for instance, are people-oriented versus task-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the people-oriented folks, those are the ones that you give a warm handshake to, and you can pat them on the back, and you can talk about their golf game or their kids.
They're high-touch people.
Yeah, they are. And they want to be treated that way. If, mm-hmm. if you're not friendly, if you don't start with social talk, they think you're stilted. They think you don't have a personality, mm-hmm. and they're going to try to find one.
Right.
Other people who are task-oriented are most comfortable communicating in order to report ideas and information.
Are women more likely to be one way or the other than men are, or vice versa?
There's no statistical difference.
Okay.
Between task and people-oriented, or introvert-extrovert, between the genders.
Hmm.
Now, it's documented that women tend to be more thorough listeners.
Yeah.
That may make them think more people-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to get Beverly to talk to tell us how to tell someone that we don't have time to listen right now. Beverly Inman Eagle is our special guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The book is Talk Is Not Cheap. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is Beverly Inman Eagle, the author of the new book that is actually already in its second printing, which means that it's a very good book because people are buying it, and they had to print some more. It's called Talk Is Not Cheap, Saving the High Cost of Misunderstanding at Work and at Home. And I recommend this book to you folks. It's outstanding. We've been talking to Beverly about the book, some of the things that are in it. And, Beverly, I would like for you to give us your website again one more time, please.
It's BYAC.com, which
okay.
stands for Because You Always Communicate.
All right. Thank you, Beverly. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check that out. And also, I know what we want to do. I said I wanted to get you to talk to us again about how to tell someone, and you did this last time and I enjoyed it. How do you tell someone you don't have time to listen?
You need to make the decision rather quickly, because once a person starts talking, if you interrupt them, it's more of a withdrawal. Than if you do it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, let's say you're at your desk and you're busy working and somebody stops in and starts talking, very quickly look up, use the universal stop sign, which is, palms facing that person.
Right.
Be sincere.
Is that like talk to the hand?
Talk to the hand, that's right. And you say, I am so sorry, I do not have time to listen right now. I'm involved in finishing. Name quickly whatever it is. I'll be finished and you give a time by 1 o'clock, by whatever. I'll get back with you then. Thanks. And then you need to look busy again. Do not say that to someone and then keep looking at them, because that person's response is going to be, well, I just wanted to talk to you about such and such.
Right.
And before you know it, you're talking about it, or you're talking about how you don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
So this needs to be very quick. If you want to postpone listening for just a very short time, for instance, you're composing something and you're writing it down and somebody comes in, instead of giving them the palms up, give them the index finger. Hold it up, keep your hand up, and that means just a minute. And people know that you're going to get back with them, because if you hold your hand up like that for very long, for most people within about 30 seconds, you're starting to feel the pain in your arm.
Or maybe if you don't use the palms up sign, maybe you just do the timeout sign. But I have two little exercises that I use. If someone else is sort of barged in on me, before they get started, as you say, or as they're starting, I say, John, please forgive me. I'm in the middle of a project, and I've got to stay with it. Can we do this a little bit later?
Right.
And so now I haven't been rude, and I've, even though they were the rude ones, so to speak, probably to start with, I just said, please forgive me. And the other thing that I do is, the other thing that I do, and this helps the other person, that if I'm being the one who is approaching them, who is interrupting them, like on the phone, if I call someone, I always try to say, John, have you got a minute?
That's a wonderful thing to do. Whenever you call someone, think about it. You're expecting that conversation. You've put some thought into it. At least you've dialed the number. The person picking it up, it does not have that advantage.
That's right. And you're basically barging in on their day. And I always say, have you got a minute? I try to always say that. And you know what? Sometimes they say, no, I don't. And I say, great, call me back. And then you haven't caused them to have to feel like they're being rude.
Right, and
got about 5 seconds.
If you listen to their voice, you can tell if they sound rushed or their pitch is high or loud. You probably can sense that, this is not a good time to
Absolutely.
Have that conversation.
Beverly, we're going to have you back again real soon. I enjoyed having you here.
Thank you so much.
Good job. Talk is not cheap, ladies and gentlemen. Beverly Inman Eagle. got to wrap it up for this hour. Before we go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.